Hello, good evening, everybody.
No Hope Radio.
That you can jail
revolution. Oh.
All right. Good evening. Welcome to the TAPI, Township Alive, the Progressive Intellectual Blog Talk Radio. This is me, the ghost host number 8, and we have on the line the one and only Miss Kiel.
Yup, K-I-L to the Z. What's going on? Good evening, everybody. We have a very deep topic this evening. So I'm not going to be extra silly because it's a deep topic. You know, we'll still try to have fun, though, because we don't want to be depressed for, like, the next hour and a half. But, yeah. Very deep
right.
topic.
Exactly.
Yeah, very deep topic. Talking about sexual abuse in the melanated / Hispanic community. Why is it swept under the rug? Why is it run rampant, but nobody wants to talk about it?
Right. I think definitely a sensitive issue. I think there are things that people must face when they look at incidents.
Your mic.
Okay, back again.
Yeah.
I think it's a very, very, very serious incident for those that face it.
Yes.
Very. Okay, check two. Can you hear me?
I hear you, like, cutting in and out. Maybe you have a short in your wire.
Is that better?
Yes, I hear you now.
All right, cool. All right, you know what? Let's you want to do a couple of just general statistics?
Say what?
I was saying I'm going to do a couple of general statistics.
Oh, statistics, yes, statistics. Let's get it.
Yes, okay. Every 2 minutes, somewhere in America, someone, and this does not include children who are 12 and under, someone in this country is sexually assaulted. And that's almost every 2 minutes.
That's a lot of people.
That is way too many. And out of those victims in that particular range, almost one-fourth of them were victims of completed rape. Half and one third of them were victims of an attempted rape, and then the latter falls into the identified with victims of sexual assault, because there is a clear difference between complete rape, attempted rape, and sexual assault.
Yes, there is.
Okay. Now, in tonight's particular venue, we did say sexual assault. But we're going to try to cover the entire gambit of what sexual assault is. And again, we are not portraying to be counselors. We're not going here to say that we have the answers or how to heal, or even say that we know how to progress after something like that has happened. But we are saying that there are people out there that share in similar situations. And we do believe here at the TAPI that the only way to reach one is to definitely teach one. And although it being an unfortunate situation if you've gone through it, it's definitely a situation that could be shared by other women. And those experiences can only help people get stronger. What do you say to that, Ms. Kiel?
Well, those situations where there are a lot of females that haven't found a way to heal from what they went through in their childhood. And
right.
Some of the ways that it affects them is either they become nymphomaniacs or they are sexually withdrawn or scared of men. You know? So they either...
Why do you think it's one extreme versus the other?
Say that again?
So why do you think it's one extreme versus the other?
Because everybody's different.
True.
That's why. And everybody's abuse was different. It wasn't the exact same type of abuse. Maybe, like, I knew somebody whose sister used to make him perform oral sex on her.
Mm.
You know, then there's, you know, that's not everybody's abuse story, you know? Some people got touched. Some people got raped. Some people got touched and raped. Some people got gang touched or gang raped, or, you know, everybody's story is different, so it affects everybody differently.
Right.
And there's a lot of people that haven't healed from this abuse. And it affects you as an adult. So one of the things, you're either going to be a nympho where you're sleeping with mad guys, or you're going to be turned out to be gay where now you're a male prostitute, a male gay prostitute if it's a guy. You know, it depends. Everybody's story is different. Like those priests that was doing it to the altar boys, some of those guys ended up becoming like drug addict male gay prostitutes. And it was a priest that did it to them. Or, you know, they turn into a life of crime and, you know, and they're in jail now or something like that. Like it affects everyone differently. And also I realized a lot of these people that are preying on the children, they've been abused as well.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, they have that story in their background and in their childhood as being touched or being raped or whatever the case may be. So it's just...
But in our community in particular, why do you think it's an issue that's not really discussed?
I think it's suppressed because sometimes the people that are victims, when they want someone to listen to them, or they'll go and tell people, or, you know, someone who's, you know, like their parents or whatever, they get shrugged off. Like, oh, shut up, why are you lying? So if they feel the person who should protect them or who should care won't care, they don't say nothing about it.
Right.
You know? It's like a double-edged sword, you know? And a lot of the times, the mothers who think their daughters are lying, they were, you know, victimized as children. So it's like they're repeating that pathology.
Right.
When they ran to mommy, no, mommy didn't believe them either. So when their daughters run to them, they don't believe their daughters. It's something about the psyche. I don't know. I'm not a therapist or a psychologist or something, but it's something about the psyche that, like, when you feel like no one's going to hear me or believe me or do anything about it, you try to suppress it. And when you suppress it, your way of suppressing it affects how you deal or interact with your children. You know? So it's really just, like, you know, I know a lot of folks that's been abused, including myself, you know? So everybody had different levels of abuse, but, you know, we've been exposed to something that we were not supposed to be exposed to at young ages. And it's usually someone that's close to the family or a family member.
And that's where, let's talk about that a little bit. You think that has a lot to do with the reason why it's so suppressed in our community? Because, you know, make no bones about it. If you look at the actual stats they have on it, actually says that more white women are actually raped than black women. And I'm not sure if that's because the number of white women actually outweigh those of women of color. But it's actually about, 80% of the population. I have 80% of the population, 80% rape victims are white. And only 13.3% are black. But, however, blacks are about 10% more likely to be attacked than white.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that has a lot to do with the numbers, you know, force by numbers, or the numbers are, as far as females are concerned, a lot greater than ours. So, of course, that's why the 10% more likely to be attacked. And it seems to be totally it's not a total race crime, but it appears that rape tends to stay within the color most of the time.
It seems to be what? That last part, say that again?
Oh, rape seems to stay within the color. Because it appears that with the...
Oh, yeah.
That, 80% of the time, 85% of the time, women are assaulted by members of the same ethnicity. which I thought that was interesting.
Yeah.
But I think that as a man, go ahead.
Okay. Well, I was going to go ahead.
I'm just saying from a man's point of view, until we get other people call in, I found it fascinating how many of them actually go on report.
It's a ton of them that went unreported. A ton.
Yeah, I mean, it's actually say that most crimes go unreported. And the most common reasons given by the victims for not reporting the crime is the belief that there is a private or personal matter, and that they feel that they might get some type of reprisal from the person that assaulted them, which I guess that goes to show that a lot of times the victim pretty much knows their grounds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Absolutely fascinating. You know, because a man such as myself, I'm only speaking for myself, of course, but some guys can't comprehend or fathom the concept of what rape is. Because, you know, rape is about control, it's about force, it's about so many different things. And when you tend to push your belief or your want on somebody else, then, you know, you're crossing a clear-cut line. You know, that line of respect obviously isn't there. And if you've done it, and if you feel comfortable enough to do that, then 9 times out of 10, you've probably been in that situation before. So my thing is, we can talk and we can try to figure out, you know, how it starts and why it starts. But, you know, we can still bring it back to, because maybe it's a situation, maybe it's a question either one of us can answer. How or why is it so swept under the rug? Almost every, and I don't want to put any of my people out there, so I won't, but I know quite a few females in my life that have been on the opposite end of being sexually assaulted at some point in their life.
Yep. It's crazy sad that it seems like I know way more people that have been through it than not have been through it.
Right, right, right.
That just shows how rampant it's running in our communities, and nobody is trying to stop it or do anything about it. You know?
Yes, and that's probably the worst part. You know, we ask ourselves, you know, our people are supposed to be our protectors. You know, we're supposed to look at men, and men are supposed to be the ones that's supposed to keep us away from situations like that. And, you know, a lot of times, you know, we find women that out of no plan of their own, they're being placed in situations where men are definitely the aggressor, and they have feelings that there's not going to be any type of retribution. And I think that emboldens them, and that empowers them to act out irresponsibly. What do you think?
Mhm. Really sad, because there's a whole bunch of innocent babies out there. Nobody's protecting them, and the one person that can protect them either doesn't believe them or allows it to happen.
Right, right, right. And then you start generating that feeling, and you start generating that mindset to where, okay, it happened to me, so now I have to work through my own self-worth, my own self-importance. Mm-hmm. Out of that, or I'm through somebody else. You know, so I can feel better about myself. And we're looking for those stories of strength out there. Those that have been in that situation, and those who know what we're talking about, who've had that strength and said, you know what, regardless of what happened to me, in spite of the things that have happened, I know they are not of my doing.
Right, so it's not your fault. Don't blame yourself, because it's not your fault. It's not. You didn't do anything wrong. You was just an innocent child minding your business. It's not your fault.
Right.
You know? And
again,
this show will help some folks heal, you know, that's been through it, or, you know, at least help people express themselves, because there's a lot of people that's suppressing it and they haven't even brought it up or spoke to nobody. Like, nobody knows. They've been keeping it in for all these years. And it starts to eat at you, you know? And it seeps out in every angle of your life. It seeps out in your love life. It seeps out in how you carry yourself and how you feel about yourself and your self-esteem. It's a whole bunch of stuff. So it's not okay, and it's not your fault that it happened. but you know, and some people blame themselves for happen, you know, for what happened to them, and that's because their attacker or you know whatever probably made them feel like it's their fault, you know.
Right. Totally. It's crazy. We got some calls popping up now. Anybody
want
to call? Please share your experiences with us. It's not just not what we're on here for. We're just here for most of you. So I have a call here from the 516 area code. Yeah, press that one. So caller from the 516, you are on the air, LIVE. Where you calling from?
Caller from the 516.
Hey. Hey guys. How you all doing tonight?
Hey girl, how are you? I'm good. How about yourself?
I'm good. I'm good. I just want to sit back and just listen for a minute before I chimed in.
Oh, that's good. I'm glad that you called.
Yeah, you know I was going to call. You know I was going to back up my girl.
I was very appreciated. Appreciate it.
Yeah, yeah.
Definitely
appreciate it. Yeah, we're still on that subject about, you know, about our, you know, being violated as a kid, and then we have to look at, you know, some of these children and what they've been going through. And one thing that popped into my mind is that a lot of these sisters, you know, if you're not with the baby's father, and sometimes they're not exempt as well, but you got to stop letting random men watch your kids. Mm-hmm. You cannot leave your kids with any and everybody. Excuse me?
Stop letting random men watch your kids.
Can you say that one more time?
Yeah, you young girls, stop letting your boyfriends and these random, excuse me, niggas watch your kids. You know, it's just like when I was a kid, my mother didn't let me stay over any in everybody's house. But unfortunately, it happened to me with some of my closest cousins. You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
But you just cannot let these random men watch your kids. First of all, it's not their kids. You know, second of all, everybody's not going to treat your kids like you treat your kids.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Yeah, and I have three granddaughters. And when my oldest one is 6 years old, I had to teach her what a good touch and a bad touch was, you know? And a lot of times, these kids do think it's their fault. They do feel guilty or shame because when you ask, they don't want to tell. And you can, you know your child, you know, you can read a child. They want to say something, but they're pretty hesitant. So I'll bring it out. So I had to teach my kids early what a good touch and a bad touch was, you know. And I let them know. You know, you let me know if anybody touch you, you know, in that area, you know, in that area or in that way. If it's not with a washcloth and some soap, you let your nunu know. You let me know.
Right.
And it's just that, you know, you have to instill this in these kids as far as what a good touch and a bad touch is. But then again, you also have to be careful who you leave your kids around.
That's true.
Yeah.
You know?
You don't want to wait till it's too late after it happened, in fact.
Yeah, if they were doing the right things with their money and their coins, they'll put their kids in a daycare center. But even still, you know, because one of the daycare centers that we have our granddaughters in, they were changing this little baby's pamper. And, you know, it was almost time for my daughter to get off, so she was changing the baby's pamper. And I'm like, oh, my God. You know, somebody's been messing with their child. And it's your responsibility as a mother and as a caretaker to report that.
Yep.
You know, and a lot of times.
In Penn State. Remember that Penn State with that Sandusky dude?
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
That's up here by me, too.
Yeah,
I'm calling on a Magic Jack, so it's going to say that I'm calling from California or Kalamazoo.
Florida.
But, yeah, I'm in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, so then there was, I think the head coach went to report it, and they was like, either you shut the hell up or you get fired.
That's when things started coming out, too, about a lot of other people, you know, that was going on up here. It was a big mess. It was a real big mess.
And those children, I mean, God, I feel so bad. Like, my heart goes out to those children and their families because that's crazy. Nobody protected them. Nobody.
Exactly.
You know,
and the people who they looked up to protect them are the ones who failed them.
Yeah.
Ladies, that's why I want to make this quick point. What is the main thing about rape? The rapist is not a masked man. The rapist is not hiding up in the bushes. You know?
Right.
4 out of all 10 sexual assaults take place in the victim's own home. You know, 40% of victims are raped by a friend or a queen. You know, these are numbers.
Yeah.
So I think the one thing is that we have the perception that the boogeyman's going to jump out and he has these bad intentions. And once we find out that, you know, that's not necessarily a boogeyman, that's somebody that that I know. You know, somebody that I had a level of trust, some level of respect for. And then once
right.
that's violated, you know, then you got to step into that mindset. You know, how do I process that? You know, everything that I thought that was safe and everything I thought that was protective, you know, is not that way anymore. And one thing about it, I think that the more suppressed it in our community, the worse it gets because it's never addressed. It's just like that festering wound that never gets, you know, that bandage.
Yeah, it festers, and it repeats in generations and generations and generations and generations going down the line.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really
scary. Does this make women cautious? Like, if you've been in that situation before, does that make you more cautious? Because, sister, I appreciate the fact that you said that you're right. You shouldn't, you know, be so much trying to find love to where you allow yourself to lay down the wrong person and your children are being exposed to it.
Ooh.
I agree with you on that. But does it also make women that have been through this situation, does it heighten their awareness as to what, you know, could be going on? You know, they may read things the wrong way because they are aware now. Let's talk about that.
I think it depends on the woman because some women been through it, and when their daughters say, mommy, mommy, or, you know, such and such touch me, and sometimes they don't want to lose the guy. If it was their man
right.
or their boyfriend or their husband, they'll believe the boyfriend over their child. They want to do everything to keep the boyfriend in the picture. So whatever he says is
right.
law, and you're gonna say your daughter's lying.
Mm-hmm.
Know what I mean? And then there are some parents that find out, and you know, sometimes they might feel scared to react too because of the situation, you know, depending on the environment or the situation. You know, I know if it was me, I don't even want to talk like that, but let somebody touch my child. I don't have any kids, but let somebody touch my child. I don't even know what I would do. And I would never call my child a liar if they came and told me that, because that child's not making that up. Why would, of all things, if other child is stating, they would make something like that up?
Mm-hmm.
No question.
When a child,
no question, but you know what? Some kids do. Some kids make it up.
Some kids do, yeah. But if you got an evil child or not.
That's true. As far as knowing your child.
Some things are just in a person's bloodline.
Right.
Some things are just in a person's bloodline.
Right.
That's true.
But
right.
you ought to know, you got to be aware of who you lay down with before you copulate with these people. You have to look at the parents. You got to look at the people that's in their family.
Family,
you got
family history.
Uncle Johnny, you know.
Family history.
You have to look at all of that. But then the most important thing for you to really instill in your child is to let me know. You have to let them know that you are not afraid of nobody.
Yep.
You have to let them know that, and anybody who does that to you is a mean, horrible, and terrible person. We're supposed to be that village that is raising that child. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yep.
And it comes a time where you're going to have to explain certain things to your daughters or your nieces. You know, you're going to have to explain certain things to them and let them know that it's not right and why it's not right. You know,
right.
they may not understand the whole depth of it, but they will comprehend if anybody touches you in that manner, whether it be male or female, it's not right.
Okay, well, let me ask you this then. So with the hypersexuality that we see with our music, with the culture, with the reality TV and everything, what do you say to these young guys that are in their mind? They're starting to get the mindset to where, you know, hey, they put it all out there, you know, so all these HOESs, you know, must want it that way. They're just playing hard to get. You know, what do you say about the guys that are developing that mindset? What would you say to them as a woman?
What would I say to them about it? I would tell them that, you know, you have to respect a female no matter how she carries herself. Even if she doesn't respect herself, it's not. It doesn't give you the okay to disrespect her. Because she doesn't respect herself, she's a lost woman. She's a lost girl. And you don't know what she's been through in her childhood or whatever she went through. You know what I'm saying? That make her carry herself like that. So just because she doesn't respect herself because she's lost and misguided, it's not okay for you to disrespect her.
Right. Or you have to also ask that male, how would you feel if somebody did to your mother what you're doing to this young lady or how you're treating this young lady? Now, what if your mother hooked up with this man and come to find out every time you come home, he kicking her ass every weekend or slapping her or calling her whatever, and now you want to stand up and be a man because that's your mother. You are standing up and putting yourself in that protective mode. You're protecting your mother. So why not protect the next person's daughter or child? You have to, well, first of all, they have to be mature enough to understand that you are not the type of person that I would ever marry. Because no man wants a woman who's sexually promiscuous or just loose. That's not the type of woman you're going to ever take home to your mother. You're going to do what you got to do with that chick. And you're going to find another decent and respectable chick, and you're going to marry her. And then you'll probably, if you're not really, you know, settled, and you're still going to go out there and be with that random chick. But you have to put yourself in that position. You know, you don't do to anybody else's daughter what you wouldn't want nobody to do to your daughter or your mother or your sister. You know, and if you get an envision and picture that in your head, then maybe the, each one, you know, each one can teach one. But, you know, you can talk to a sister. I've heard a guy say that one time, you know, as young kids, because it was this, you know, it's always that one chick that has that house party and, you know, everybody disappear and she's gone and the other 10 dudes are gone and you think it's the bathroom and you open the door and you're like, excuse me, you know, it's always that one chick. But it was this one dude that told her the next day in school, why do you allow all them dudes to do that to you? You know, and he had the nerve to tell her, you're a beautiful girl. You don't have to do that to get attention. And all of them dudes is talking about you. Nobody wants to talk to you now because you that random chick, you know? Mm-hmm. So, and it really made her look at herself. She felt really bad. And she was really on the brink of suicide. But, you know, why are you going to kill yourself? You did that. You know what? Forgive yourself. And forgiving yourself is the hardest thing.
Girl.
Everybody else can give you a hug and say, girl, it's going to be all right. You know, stuff happens, but we got to get over it. We got to be strong. It is the hardest thing to forgive yourself because then you feel dirty. You feel violated. You realize that none of them dudes really don't give a damn about you. And even when they get to know you, they still don't want you. You know what I'm saying? You got to go find a dude who really don't know you or know nothing about you. Yeah, and hope your past don't come back to bite you in the ass.
Yeah, because you're considered tainted.
Exactly.
You know? You're considered tainted and dirty, so nobody want a tainted, dirty female.
Yeah, but the ones that's out here, they know better. I don't know what they're trying to prove to whom or what they're trying to prove to themselves, but in the long run, it's going to be hard on them. It's going to be hard on their self-esteem. It's going to be hard on their body. It's just going to be hard on them as an individual to get you or get other people to look at them in a different light, knowing that, you know, we know that you're that way or was that way. But, you know, it happens.
Let me ask you this. Now, that's definitely true. Now, if you are particularly wrong,
I can't hear you.
I said, I know we've all done things when we were younger, you know, that were quite questionable, you know, stupid to say them.
Yeah.
But, you know, we've all done them. That's all learning who we are and growing people. But my question would be, you know, that being the situation, if the girl put herself out there bad like that, that would pretty much fall under the direction of just having, you know, the wrong thing and the wrong decision. But even that in and of itself is not something that she was forced into. You know, let's bring it back to situations that some of these girls are being forced into. Because, you know, I hate to say it, but the average age that girls fall into this victim role would be between the age of 12 to 17.
Mm-hmm.
They're more likely to be called victims. So, you know, it's one thing to go out there and play the fool's behavior, and it's another thing to have somebody violate you and totally try to mess up your mind. Because you can beat yourself up behind doing something stupid, but it's way different when somebody actually comes to violate you.
It definitely is a difference. And, you know, sometimes the people that have been violated feel like it's their fault, too. Because the attacker, right. they mess with their head. Like, oh, look what you made me do. Or, you know, they'll try to say things to manipulate the victim to think that they forced it upon themselves, or they attracted it, or they made the attacker attack them. You know? Sometimes it's out of straight fear, too, because the attacker might say, if anyone finds out, I'll kill your whole family or something
right.
like that, you know?
Right.
Sometimes
right.
it's out of fear, too. So it's always, it's different levels and different components that play into how the female carries herself in her adult life, you know, for what she went through as a child. But it seems like I'm finding out more and more people have this story. Like, they've been sexually abused by either a friend of the family or a family member. And I didn't realize how crazy deep it runs in our communities.
Mm-hmm.
There's certain cultures that promote it.
And look how far it goes back. Now, I was born in 1961. So look how far it actually goes back. And just like, you know, even when you, I love the color purple. But
mm-hmm.
just like you heard Sophia say, a.k.a. Oprah, she had to fight her brothers, she had to fight her uncles
mm-hmm.
to keep them off of her. So this goes back, you know, a long way. So I don't know if it's because, you know, some people be fruitful and multiplying back in that day in order to extend your bloodline. You know, maybe you did, you know, have sex with cousins and, you know, to promote your heritage.
Well, they said the Egyptians used to do it to keep their bloodline pure. But the thing is, when the whites started doing it, they said when the whites started doing it because of their recessive genes, you know, the children came out deformed or, you know, have some type of deformality. So that's why
right.
the Europeans, during their rule, made it like, oh, incense is bad because if you have sex. I mean, it's still bad because I'm not trying to go pop off with my brother or my father. It's disgusting. You know what I mean? But
right.
they did it to keep their bloodline pure during the Egyptian days. And it,
right.
the kids didn't come out. The kids didn't come out crazy or deformed or anything. You know, but still, now I don't think it's okay to do like what the Egyptians did. I'm all into the knowledge and stuff, but not the procreating
right.
with your family
right.
members.
Family.
Not the procreating with your family members. No.
Right.
I'm into the knowledge. I'm into the knowledge and stuff that the Egyptians did and laid down the foundation of and stuff, but the procreating with your brother and sister would procreate, and nah, I'm sorry, that's not going to happen on this side of town, baby.
Yeah, well, you know, we don't want to look at it in that way today because we feel like our heritage or our lineage has, you know, progressed enough where you really don't have to do that now. But how did it start? You know, how did you get all them uncles and cousins and first cousins and the rest of them that was twice removed? And I have no idea what that means. But
that means your cousin
from somewhere.
That means your cousin's grandkid. Your first cousin's grandkid. So that'd be your second, third cousin. That's
right.
What twice removed means.
Right, but I'm just saying it had to start somewhere for it has, you know, has happened back then and it's still going on now. Unless
well, right.
you just have
I think it stems from being that the slaves during the slave trade went through so much. They got raped. They got tortured. They got everything taken from them. You know what I mean? By force, whether it was their fathers, their sons, their daughters, whatever the case may be. I think it stems from the slave trade, the abuse that we still are not healed from.
Right.
So we still have this sexual desire or deviancy that's in a lot of our folks, that they do these things to the children because it's from the slave trade that, you know, what happened to their ancestors during the slave trade. So it becomes part of your bloodline and part of your DNA. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's energy. When you're sitting in that shame and that torture and that rape and all that, it becomes that energy kind of makes it part of your DNA.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I read somewhere that in Jamaica there was a slave owner. One way he used to torture his slaves, he used to make them defecate and urinate in each other's mouths.
Wow.
And in my observation and in my experience, the Jamaican culture, they have a very, very, I don't want to say evil, but they don't mind doing wicked things, and they don't mind being wicked, and they take pride in being rude boys. You know, it's like, and it made me think, no wonder, it makes sense. If this is what the slave masters was doing on that island, it makes sense why they came out. Because, you know, during the slave trade, when the master would whoop you, he would have another quote-unquote nigger whoop you. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
So instead of you being mad at master for whooping you, you mad at your fellow slave that whooped you. So that hatred and that wickedness came from the anger. Because can you imagine trying to live through someone defecating and urinating in your mouth? Can you imagine being that slave on the receiving end of that? That would, I'm sorry, but they would have to kill me.
That was also a scene in American Horror Story, the series The Coven.
Yeah.
Where the lady, where she was taking the slaves upstairs and she was actually ripping the skin off of the slaves. And
mm-hmm.
that was actually a scene where she said someone feces.
Yeah.
So,
oh, my God.
Yeah. So the things that they did back there. The torture
they put the slaves through. It
mm-hmm.
becomes part of our DNA, and it comes out in a different way down the line in our current times with the, I guess, the sexual deviancy that is running rampant in our communities.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
And then you abuse your own people. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, because if you do it to a white person, you're going to die. At that time, you didn't go around attacking white folks because you couldn't attack white folks without repercussions. You know what I'm saying? But if you do it to your own kind, it's like, shut up, don't say nothing. Don't say nothing to nobody. And you actually got the child scared to say something. You're going to think it's okay to do it. And it was done to you. And you're going to be, you know, it's just a cycle that becomes part of that generation that gets passed on.
Right, right.
You know what I mean? I would love to know what happened in the Puerto Rican island during the slave trade. Because it seems like, from what I heard, I always hear in the Puerto Rican culture, the men sleep with their daughters. And it's like, okay, not all Puerto Rican, I'm not saying all Puerto Rican families, you know, are into that, but it's not something that's unheard of on the island. And I know people personally that their fathers tried something with them. So it's like, it lets me think that's the mind state on the island. I want to know what happened on that island during the slave trade that made it okay for fathers to sexually abuse their daughters.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? What came
maybe
from?
You should bring that up as a question on the site. You know, maybe some people will chime in and comment.
Maybe, or maybe it's lost history.
A perspective.
That's unexplainable.
Uh-huh. It's power. That's what it is.
You know?
Y'all
really hardly.
Yeah, a little bit.
Justin, can you hear me?
I hear you.
Yeah.
Okay, I was saying it's power. It's pure and simple. It's power. You know, men feel like they have to have power in their household. And some men get that twisted, and they tend to put that power over their female children as well as their male children. I don't necessarily agree that it started during the slave trade. I know that it started like way before that, because as the sister was saying, you know, you had people that believed in keeping their bloodline, and they didn't necessarily go to necessarily cousins and grandchildren at all. They would go right there in their own household.
Mm-hmm.
And that in itself is extending the power. But in our community, in our culture, the way that it's suppressed, because, you know, if we talk about the, what is that, the Latter-day Saints or whatever, whichever ones, the FDLS, the ones that believe in marrying a teenage girl and then having sex with them, that's what I'm talking about?
No, I don't know which cult that is. Which one? Sorry.
It's not. It's not the Amish, is it? Is it the Amish?
No, it's not Amish. No, it's the Latter-day. They have cults out up in Colorado, Texas. They have. Look at the FDLS. I will post the information on our township page. But yes, they do have William Jeff. Never heard of William Jeff before?
Mm-mm.
No.
The guy that married the teenagers and that married the 12, 13-year-old girls in the world.
Oh, yeah, I did see that. That was on, what, TLC or one of them cable channels, right?
Right. These people have actual cults, and they, you know, they have multiple wives. They have, they marry children. They have pictures of themselves with children. And they're all over the Midwest. They're all over the West Coast and the Midwest. And the sad thing about it is, again, that it goes back to power and direction. When you can do things and violate people with no consequence and with no conscience, then you can continue to do it. And it doesn't matter who you respect. It doesn't matter how their life goes after you assault them. Some guys really don't care. And women rape as well. If I may throw that
women
out.
Rape men?
Yes, they do.
Yeah, but it's not as rampant as the men raping the women.
Of course not. It's not even in a, it's not even as big as male or female rape. But of course, women do rape.
Mm. Well, I'm not surprised at that one.
Really? Okay, yeah. We can talk about that a little bit later, but what I wanted to do was, for the sake of, you know, while we post it, if anybody wants to anonymously walk us through a situation,
anybody
with somebody that,
anybody
okay,
that
if
what?
Anybody wants to, I said, if anybody wants to, for the sake of the topic, anybody wants to, you know, just kind of share someone that maybe is close to them that may have went through a situation like this in our community. You know, what were some of the feelings that they went through, and if they resolved it, you know, how they're doing it. I want to give the floor about 5 minutes for that.
Okay.
Guys, my phone is about to die, and when I talk and I have it charging at the same time, the battery overheats. But I did enjoy the conversation. I enjoyed the topic, and it was really enjoyable calling in and, you know, and kicking it with you guys.
Thank you so much for calling in, sis. You can listen online as well.
I will. Okay, my brothers, you take care. Sister, I'll talk to you later.
You already know, sis. You already know.
All right, babe.
All right.
All righty.
All right.
Yeah, so I don't know if we have any other callers who want to say anything. Who wants to share their experience or give some insight or anything like that?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I see about 3 calls on here, but nobody requested that. And I don't think that we have. We definitely have 3 calls, and I don't see anybody requested 1 just yet. But I will say this from a man's point of view.
Okay.
I do believe that, you know, when we look at our community, like we, Bill Cosby situation, the way he's going through right now is a perfect example. We look at
Oh, the Bill Cosby thing. Okay. I said the Bill Cosby thing. Okay. Yeah.
If we look at our community, you know, sometimes, you know, when you accuse or when you slap that label of rape onto someone, that the disadvantage it does to people that may not be guilty is the fact that there are vindictive women out there. There are women out there that will, you know, clearly say, hey, this happened to me. You know, and the general sympathy of that situation will maybe cause a lot of people to not even take the time to go back to even see if their claims are valid. So what would you say to someone that maybe has been wrong but finds himself in a situation where nobody sees?
Right. I'm sorry, you breaking up really bad.
Oh, it is. I hate. Oh, you know what? After tonight, I will never use this microphone again.
Please don't, because I'm trying to make out what you're saying, and that's hard. You're cutting on and out. I don't know if it's the wire or the mic itself, but it's not. It's not really working.
But it might not be all the way. Is this better? Testing.
Yeah, I hear you.
Is that better?
Yeah, I hear you.
Okay, yep, the mic wasn't in. Okay. All right, but as I was saying, what about women who are placed in situations where they know they're telling the truth, beyond a shadow of a doubt, but because of whatever situation, they're not being given the type of respect that they have for even coming forward with that situation? You know, what would you say to a woman that has the courage to step forward, but then she finds out that she's being scrutinized?
Well, sometimes when a female gets raped, she'll try to call in. She'll try to go to make a report with the police. And the first thing the cops are going to ask is, do you know this person? Oh, you sure you didn't lead them on? Oh, look what you're wearing. They'll try to make the female feel guilty for getting raped. So it makes it harder for the females that get raped to come forward and report the situation, because the people who are supposed to take their report and not judge them make them feel like it's their fault.
Right.
There's so many cases of rape that don't get reported because of this exact reason. I was reading something like a couple of years ago about Switzerland. It's in Switzerland, like a lot of people get raped over there. And it's like they don't take it seriously. So the victims feel like they shouldn't even report it because they're gonna make feel like it's their fault.
That is awesome.
But when a man get raped, I had a friend telling me there was a book that she read. In the book, it was a cop, and he went to go take a report for a case of a female that got raped, and he didn't take the female seriously. He wanted the female to feel like it was her fault and she asked for it. Then he got raped by dudes. He got sodomized.
Wow.
And he was scared to say anything. And that's when he understood the pain of what the women go through. He was scared to say that, you know, he was gang raped by, you know, some guy or some guys or whatever. And it made him feel the female's pain on how he made them feel when they tried to get help or assistance or you know, justice for what happened to them. He couldn't get justice for what happened to him because he was ashamed.
Right.
You know what I mean? And it's really sad because this mentality that men have, that, well, if a female gets raped, she asks for it. What was she wearing? And look how she's dressed or whatever. This makes it even worse.
And I don't know if the situation's ever been where a woman actually asks to be raped. Now, I do understand the mindset to what people say, well, you know, what she has wrong and her behavior, her demeanor. But that still does not give anybody the right to actually assault or violate anybody.
Right.
You know, that's crazy.
Doesn't give them, No, it does not.
Okay, we got somebody to press the one button. Okay. Caller from the 347. Thanks for pressing that one button. You want to jump in on the conversation?
Yes, yes. What's going on?
Hello, good evening.
How you doing? How you doing? I'm calling from Mount Vernon. You know what I'm saying? Shouting out, peeping out the show.
Thanks, I appreciate it.
Yeah, no doubt, no doubt. Support, you know, Kill 730, you know.
Thank you, boo. Thank you.
Yeah, you know, I support everything real, but, you know, I couldn't really hear what you were saying over the intro. But I like to jump into discussion, you know, just you know, running by me what you're talking about, and I'll show my insight.
Well, I appreciate you, and what is your insight?
What's the topic you're talking about? Like, because right now,
I'm sorry. The topic is sexual abuse in the melanated and the Hispanic community. Why does sexual abuse in our community get swept under the rug? Why is it running so rampant and nobody wants to talk about it?
Well, in the Hispanic community, well, I could speak for this on this tip. I'm black. I'm Caribbean descendants from Barbados, but I was married to a Spanish woman, and I know from that culture, I know in terms of it's like very machismo. So like a lot of stuff is like, you know, go along with the flow type, you know. So it's like, you know, They would do certain things, you know what I mean, but it's like in the culture, it's like hush-hush, you know. It's like a lot of stuff is kept secret. So it also equates to the black community because that falls back into slavery. Like we've been trained, black and Latino, to keep our mouths shut and just go along with the plan, you know what I'm saying? So,
yep.
I mean, that's how I feel, you know, and this from like how we are right now, and it goes a lot further, like deep into like the Willie Lynch theory. Like we're all programmed, so like we're walking around, like I guess the best way to explain is like we're like cells. Like how do we compare like the Taliban and all that?
Right.
We're like cells. We're not woken up until we encounter a situation that wakes us up to the situation because it's in our subconscious, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So we're going through life kind of like zombies. You know, we're not woken up to the situation until we encounter it, and then when we encounter it, you know, we're not allowed to speak about it because it's like in our culture or in our environment that we live in, it's like keep it hush-hush, you know?
Yeah, it's like taboo to talk about it, but it's running rampant, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and if we don't talk about it, we can't solve it because everybody's running around with the same situation. We're looking at each other's faces, but we don't even know we have the same situation going on.
Right. I'm noticing that it's because I didn't realize I was a victim till recently because my cousin, you know, sexually molested me.
Okay,
and,
wow.
You know what I mean? And I didn't, all these years, I was with a coworker and she was telling me her story. And then I was like, wow, her story kind of sounds like my story.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
But except it was a friend of the family that she trusted that was like a head of a church and stuff, and mine was my cousin. So that's
when I realized,
yo, I'm a victim too. All these years I didn't think of myself as a victim, and it's sad. That's really sad, you know.
You made a good point. You made a good point right there. Like when I was listening to you, you said the church has a lot to do with it too, because.
Mm-hmm.
If you know to look in the church, I'm not trying to bring in, like, you know, it's deep. Everything, it's like, you know, I know you're doing a show on it tonight, but it gets so deep, you have to do a lot more shows.
Yeah, it goes deep, deep, deep. We don't got time to discuss everything.
let's do, like, this a long story short type thing. Let's do like this. Like, in the church community, especially, like, I'm Baptist. I have family that's Pentecostal. But then you have all these people, like, you know, In the church realm, they don't want to rock with the person who, like I say, is like the bati boy or the girl that's too tough, if you know what I mean.
Right.
In every church, who's the best choir director? You know what I'm saying? So it's like things are right there in your face, but they don't want to discuss it. It's like the truth is in plain sight.
Yeah, truth is always in plain sight.
You know, but they don't want to even touch on a subject. So that goes along with the lines where if you have family, friends who, like I said, if they have church power connected to the church and stuff like that, or they're well known in the community, oh, we don't want Joe Schmo to you know, to lose his position. You know, just ride along with it, baby. You know, just talk, talk to me, baby. You know, and we'll try to talk for you. But that's not how it should be.
Right,
you know?
Or it happened to me too. So what's your problem? What's the big deal? You know?
Yeah. So it's like
go
with the flow, baby. Go with the flow, baby.
I read something not too long ago that was kind of talking about what you just said. It's in Florida. This priest, not priest. I'm sorry. This pastor who has who's a documented child, you know what they call it, sex offender. Kept his position as the pastor of the church. Because he's such a good pastor.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
But until he touches your child, you ain't going to be feeling that.
Yeah, you know, nobody's going to talk about the youth pastor because he has that next in line to be the senior pastor, you know. It gets deep, you know, so it's like, but I guess the best way to for me explain it, like, especially coming from where I'm coming from, like, I Mount Vernon, I don't know if I see the 516 number I called, so... but I've been out to school out in Long Island, but let me explain how Mount Vernon is. Mount Vernon is, like, on the end of the Bronx, you know what I'm saying? So we're, like, the beginning suburbs of Westchester, you know what I'm saying? But how it breaks down is, like, everybody thinks that it's so nice and dandy up here, but it's not, because we have the same situation that's going on in the city, you know what I mean? But it's even more hush up here because it's, like, you have affluent black folks who want to get past that.
Right, they want to get past it and act like nothing happened and live their happy little lives.
They want to brush it there. They want to brush it under the rug.
Yeah,
you know, they're like, I don't want to hear that. Yeah, I've been through that. Yeah, brother and sister. But I want to.
Yeah.
I'm trying to
move past that. Yeah, exactly. But you make a good point because that makes sense too with the affluent, you know, the affluent melanated community, the you know, the well-to-do folks. It probably. It probably, like, is just as bad in that community as well, you know. And it's not spoken of. It's shut the hell up. Don't say nothing, you know.
People don't realize what went on in the Caucasus Mountains was much more savage. But you want to break it down? We're not gonna go there. But that's another show altogether. But I'm saying,
yeah, it is.
the affluent black folks are trying to get to the level of, I say, the what they see in the media and what they see in the culture where they should be, you know what I mean, from the degrees and whatever, and they can't keep up with the Joneses.
Right. I was going to say that, the Joneses,
Yeah, but they're bringing that same dirt under the rug with them into the new tax bracket.
Yes, they are.
If you're not handling the problem from where it comes from, is this going to follow you like a roach follows a scent of food?
Exactly.
You know? Yeah, so, you know, so definitely, we got to jump on a ball, people. We got to jump on a ball. Like, you know, I know we may have other calls or whatever, but I'm not trying to snatch up all the airtime, but I'm just saying, like, from how I feel, you know what I'm saying? Like, I had a call. Like, when we gave me the number, I was like, yo, I'm going to call because I have a voice, because sometimes you can put stuff online, but sometimes you have to hear a voice.
Because that's true.
Anybody can press keypads.
Yeah.
Not everybody can express their opinion.
Or their story.
Through verbal dialect.
Or give their testimony of what they've been through or what they went through or whatever.
Oh, yeah. It's good. You know what I'm saying? Like, we all group into a situation, like, you know what I mean, where, like, I've been through a situation where when I was in preschool, like, girls, like, were hyperly sexually active. I was like,
preschool.
And they're like, yo, show me your whatever. No, let's talk about it. I'm like, show it. So I'm thinking, like, well, show you an apple or something. No, they're like, show me your family.
Show me
your...
Oh, my God.
I'm like, wow. Like, you know what I'm saying? And I got in trouble for that. And my grandmother actually, like, spanked me. But, like, it was funny because in the black culture, my grandmother was mad, but at the same time, she was more happy the fact that I like girls than the fact that...
Well, at least he likes girls.
Yeah, you know what I mean? She was upset, but she wasn't overwhelmed. She was like, okay, well, at least you playing around with girls now.
Right,
you know
exactly,
I mean?
Right.
You know, exactly. So I guess I got half a spanking.
Right. So you probably got popped in your head. Boy, what the hell wrong with you?
Right.
And then you hear her talking about it. Well, at least the boy like girls. I can't, you know, at least he like girls. I'm happy he like girls.
Yeah, you know, so, you know, it's weird because in the black community, it's like our priorities, like, since we don't, a lot of us don't know origin of self or where we came from.
Yes.
We grab on to anything that looks familiar. You know
what
I'm saying? So that familiar thing, because, you know, deception comes under disguise. And so if you grab for something that's not. Hello? Okay, I'm just making sure.
Oh, yeah. I'm like, what happened? I hope I ain't losing my connection. Okay.
Yeah, so I'm just saying, like, you know, for the black community, when you try to grab onto anything, it's like believing in anything. You got to believe in something truly, you know, and have faith in it, then just grab onto something because that's a lifeline. You know what I mean?
Totally. I totally agree.
Well, I follow
you. Yep, I totally agree. Because it's like when we, you know, we'll sit there and say, Oh, that wouldn't have been me, that wouldn't have been me, that wouldn't have been me. And those women that are so quick to act like they wouldn't be that type of person to accept it are the first ones to, when their daughter come and tell them something, oh, you know, your boyfriend or your man touched me or your husband, like in Precious, like that movie Precious.
Yeah.
Right.
I just seen Precious crazy. Not too long ago. Yeah, now, oh my God, now. Boy, I'm sorry, ain't no girls here, just me. Boy. You know what I'm saying? Oh, my goodness, that movie was crazy.
Word.
That self-hatred, that's examples of self-hatred, uneducated, you know, the sweep it under the rug mentality, the, you know, the woman accepting her husband doing these things to her daughter, and she allows it because she didn't want to lose her man. You know, it's, you put the man before the well-being of your child, and that's sad.
Yeah, that's crazy. Well,
you know,
that's
putting penis before your baby girl, and it's not cool. You'd rather keep the man in the picture. I know somebody that, you know, that her mother is still with the guy that touched her.
Wow.
And she's grown now.
Yeah. That's crazy.
It's like a woman physically abused. You know, if she's never had love before in her life, and she starts to equate love with physical abuse, then it doesn't matter what else happens to her after that point once she accepts that that's the way it's supposed to be.
Right.
Wow.
You know, and can you necessarily call her ignorant or crazy because she accepted that, or is that just a product of what she's learned and what she's adapted to due to her upbringing?
Right. She mentioned her mother was also abused too.
And no father figures, you know, no father figures around, you know, and, she feels like, you know, okay, well, I got this man who may be paying the bills or maybe paying through a chemical means, but being drugs, whatever.
Mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm.
Like keeping her fixed, keeping Jones-nated, where she's in a fog mind state, you know. So it's like when you're dealing with those aspects, you know, sometimes, you know, a woman who's lost, you know, people don't realize a woman's a very powerful creature. She gets birth
we're
to both male and female.
And female,
you know?
We are the mother of civilization.
Yeah, so when you destroy a woman, you're creating a vortex in the reality you have right now, because now you're destroying the person who gave birth to the savior, to either a male or female, you know. Or it's not even just that. The fact that she could give birth to two different sexes, that alone shows you, okay, wow. Okay, this is something that should be cherished, not destroyed. But when you destroy that, you're destroying the whole community at whole.
Yes. Because we're mothers of the civilization, but now the way...
That's what we're talking about, the aspect of power when it comes to sexual assault and violating people. You know, because we understand that women have the power to procreate, and, you know, they can't do it without our help, of course. But they still are the incubator that we cannot be. You know, women can carry the kid. We can't. So the bottom line with that is that, you know, by starting to exploit the woman's feelings and starting to, you know, get to the point where they demean them and start hitting on them, and then utterly getting to the point where they start to sexually assault them. You know, those are just mere surges of power and ego. You know, ego has a whole lot to do with it, because if you If you feel empowered to make those moves, you've done it before.
Mm.
Right.
Okay.
And
you've done it before, that's sure.
We're trying to figure out why those things are being swept under the rug. You know, we see how the culture's changing. You're right. And I heard you earlier, brother, and you 100% right.
Mm.
They are doing the best they can to feminize every African-American male they see. You know, we see it in the culture. We see it in the clothes, skinny jeans, bright colors. We see it. You know, this is
mm-hmm.
awesome. So,
it's in the music, it's in the shows, it's in TV, it's in the media.
But I like to put this question out there, you know what I'm saying?
Sure.
Cause I just thought about the listen to you speak. You know, we already spoke about how the woman is the most powerful, basically the most powerful creature on this planet because, you
know. That's if they know their power, yeah.
Yeah, yes, yes. But see, I wanted to put this question out there for you because When is it, or what point in time has man, and I also say, when I say man, I see the black man, when has a black man lost his faith or his love for the black woman when he was given birth from her and he loved her to, that's when he needed her to feed him and clothe him, up to the point where he got out there and made his own decisions? At what point in time did he turn his back?
Because it started happening.
Yeah, because this falls into all that.
It's all connected. It's also connected to the slave trade and how the, you know, the master would come and take the woman's son from her and take her husband from her and sell them off or rape them or have their way with them or whatever, or kill them, lynch them, whatever. And, you know, the woman was left, you know, living in fear of her life as well as her the men in her life, you know what I mean? Her daughters were taken from her, sold off, already popping out kids by 10, 11 years old. You know what I mean? No 10, 11-year-old, you know, no 10, 11-year-old little girl supposed to be raped and already impregnated. And, you know, it's ridiculous. It's sad. I think it really comes from that whole, like, what happened to us in the slave trade. What happened to us in the slave trade has become part of our DNA. So that's why we're acting out. That's why we're acting out in these perverse and deviant ways.
Do you know one thing you said, sister, that was right on point? You said DNA. You know why? Because we operate with iPads and Apples and
yeah.
all this, you know, Android
devices,
nonsense.
Yeah.
But people don't realize the brain is the original computer. No computer can outsmart the brain. And the DNA is the ultimate, you know, like, lab, you know what I'm saying, library for all the information for who human beings are. So
yep.
like if you deduce into a generation of people of self-loathingness, of hate, of not loving yourself and not caring about, you know, the next man, yeah, that's going to be stored in your DNA because that the DNA controls your flight or fright. You know what I'm
mm-hmm.
saying? Whether you're going to
mm-hmm.
run or you're going to fight. Whether
mm-hmm.
you're going to run from the situation.
Right,
so
right.
it's like that's how you build on, that's how you evolve as a person, not even as a person, as an animal, as anything
yep.
on this planet. You know
right.
what I'm saying? Because if a thousand years go by and people, and your DNA keeps experiencing, okay, this person that I'm in keeps getting eaten at a certain point in time, maybe at a certain point in time I should leave this. So I'm going to put this in my DNA so that at a certain point in time, we're going to go, like, it's going to call a season. Like, this season,
mm-hmm.
we're going to go somewhere else.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's
mm-hmm.
stored. So people don't realize that that's the God, that's the universal God speaking down on you, saying, hey,
mm-hmm.
time to change up your dynamics because you're going the wrong way.
Yep. That's kind of sort of what I mentioned before, before you called in. I mentioned how the Jamaican slave trade, there was a slave master who, for punishment to his slaves, on the island of Jamaica, he used to make the slaves defecate and urinate into each other's mouths as punishment.
Oh, no, sister, you know why? I'm glad you said that. Now, don't get me wrong. Like, I lived a long life, you know what I'm saying? But my thing is now, like, I learned a lot through the internet and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So you hit a point right there. Now, that was punishment now, right? But
mm-hmm.
guess what the caucus, our brothers and sisters that ran from us from Africa and went to the mountains,
uh-huh.
That is a fetish to them. In German culture, that's called, I forgot what that's called. It's something
caviar.
Yeah, that's a
caviar.
That's where they defecate in a person's mouth and that person gets aroused. Where they pee in golden showers. You know, where people get peed on.
Yeah.
And that's from the caucus people. You know what I'm saying?
Mm. Yeah.
We don't do that to each other. But at the same time, we'll start doing it to think, okay, that's what I need to get to that next level. So we're being brainwashed to think certain things we need to do or certain things we need to jump out of our character or our DNA.
Like the black women having sex with horses on tape now.
Oh, yeah.
But
check this out. I know you remember this name, Vanessa Del Rio.
How do you not remember that name?
Yeah. You know who she's related to, right? You know who Vanessa Del Rio is related to?
No,
Felicia
who she related
Richard.
To?
Felicia Richard. That's a whole other thing, but they're not going to say that on film.
But I thought Vanessa Del Rio was a Latina.
Felicia Richard is too. They ever heard name changes?
I know Debbie Allen and Felicia Richard are sisters.
Yeah, but you can't see the Spanish in them? You can't see that Dominicana?
Well, shoot, I'm Haitian and they think I'm Spanish, so what you saying?
Haitian and Dominican
in the same island. Yes, I know. We're going to go there.
I know people crossing that border. Don't get me fooled.
Yes, you're right.
You know what I'm saying? Because if we can't keep our Mexican brothers and sisters from down in Mexico coming over here, you can't tell me Haitians ain't crossing over the Dominican because they're not beans and rice.
We all brothers and sisters. It's just the divide and conquer mentality got us thinking, oh, Dominicans is better than Haitians or Jamaicans is better than Haitians.
But all in all, if you put everything down on a flat piece of paper and you really jot down the history, we're all from Africa. The ones that are trying to conquer us are our brothers and sisters that went to the mountains and they feel bad that they went to the mountains and they had sex with dogs and all that nonsense. And now they want to come back because they're scared of us because they know they're not the chosen folks.
Even though they try to act like they are, they stole our birthright.
Oh, no.
The children of Israel are not Caucasians. The children of Israel are the slave trade descendants and the natives that was on the land, the aboriginals.
You said another good point, sister. The aborigines down in Australia, why they try to kill them off? Because they got the truth.
They want to keep them in the desert,
and they learn how to live in the desert, and that scared them. But another thing, too, is that, let's look at the word Europe. You know what I mean?
Right.
We don't know about that. Europe means, it's a godmother. And we sent them there to Europe, you know what I'm saying, basically as a punishment, but also let them know, like, okay, they got to separate, you know what I mean, because they're detrimental to what we're doing.
Right. They were not plus you got to look at the climate situation, because everywhere there's, like, hot weather is people of color that live there because we're able to withstand this climate. That's why, you know, going back to what I learned from Hidden Colors, he mentioned that our noses are big and wide nostrils because we had to breathe in air to cool off our brain because we was living in a hot climate. And our hair grows into the air as opposed to down our neck and hang dead because our hair, they call it kingly hair because it curls. It also, it's like our body is built to absorb the energy of the sun because we have melanin, but it also is built to shut off and transmute the energy that we're still soaking up through our hair.
Definitely.
So our hair curls up. The energy goes through, the solar energy goes through our hair follicles and goes back into the atmosphere. Then my hair curls up. The Caucasians, their hair hang down because they had to keep the back of their neck warm so they wouldn't freeze. You know what I mean? They couldn't keep the big wide nostrils that we have because if they breathed in the cold air in their climate, they would literally freeze inside out.
Oh, definitely.
You know what I mean? So we're genetically built to withstand, to deal with the climate that we're naturally supposed to be in.
And that's why dog is man. It's not our best friend. You don't see many dogs in Africa. You see dogs up in Europe, you know, because Oh,
you sorry. Man's best friend is supposed to be your woman.
Hey,
okay. Yeah.
Can we say that before the next consciousness show?
Say what?
I said, can we say that topic for the next consciousness show? We do consciousness.
Which topic? The man's best friend?
Yeah, you know, when we
oh yeah, we're going off topic. Okay, yeah.
Oh, yeah,
so sexual abuse.
Yeah,
no,
we're
going off topic. You're right, because it's just all connected though. But yeah, I feel you. We can get off topic real quick, but we got to get back on topic. But yeah, sexual abuse in the melanated and the Hispanic community is swept under the rug because it's like, don't you dare speak about it. We trying to get our lives together and make it work over here. Don't you dare come and just crumble everything, you know? And some Hispanic cultures accept it. It's hush, hush, and taboo, but they accept it.
But you know why I feel like now we're going to stay on top of this time with my comment. what I feel is going on here is like a derivative of what the slave master did is going into the rooms. So it's in our DNA. It's like, you know, in each generation you're going to have somebody perverse. Like you know, and here's the prime thing I'm trying to say is every family have a representation of society in every family.
Right.
You know? So now in every family now, you have a part of that DNA that's been affected where that DNA is going to wake up and say, okay, well, Massa did it. You know what I'm saying? Well, you know, he's already quirky. He's already into touching folks.
Yeah, he's subconsciously programmed.
He's going to do it to his sister. He's going to do it to his cousin. You know what I'm saying? His best friend's sister. He's going to catch her off guard.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So that's one thing you got to be worried about because it's now like it's so subtle, and now how they have now with the technology, they could set off your subliminal training through television. They could set off through
with the frequency,
you know, lyrics. Yeah.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying?
And song lyrics, television shows.
Yeah. Now you want me to have a couple of drinks? Now you had a family function. Why are you grinding on your cousin?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But yeah, you make a good point. You make a good point. Right, you make a good point.
At a family reunion, I had a female cousin come up to me, show me her. This is when I was younger. Show me her breasts. And I was like, I was weirded out. I didn't know what to do. I was in shock. I was like, yo, you know, I feel like Urkel. Like, did I do that?
Beautiful.
I don't know what to do, like, you know what I'm saying? So it's like that kind of shock, like, and I'm still remembering now. I'm 37. I'm like, wow, I'm still remembering this as it was like yesterday.
Yep.
So imagine, we didn't even do anything. So now imagine something further than that with somebody else, how traumatic that effect would be.
Right, exactly. You are so right.
I think that, you know, when you say you're 37, I think that, you know, then we had a certain level of innocence that came with sexuality. You know, if you think about it, like, even my brothers like Marvin Gaye, we didn't exactly know what to do we're talking about. You know, our parents
knew.
But it was people that self-tuned in that respect for them that, you know, kind of superseded the fact that we didn't need to be too overtly sexual. See, nowadays, anything goes. So it opens up these kids more like the young girls. It opens them up more and more to want to experiment with sexuality, which makes them a little susceptible to possibly being assaulted. And that's one of the things that we need to start brushing up on. You know, get back to the point where, like you said, I mean, you know, back then, you know, everything was a little bit more subtle. You know, it was definitely you did not live and you respect other people's lives, but you still have responsibility to the image that you put out there.
True indeed.
And that responsibility is something so long for you.
Mm.
Right.
Wow.
Right.
It gets deep.
Yeah, it gets deep, you know? And, you know, we don't got enough time to get that deep with y'all.
But know what it is?
Oh, man, we go deep. Right, yeah. So, you know what? We have our next consciousness show. Definitely want you to ring in because, yeah, we go there.
Yeah, the next conscious show was next week, right?
If not, well, you know, Saturday.
Or Thursday. Saturday's the Freaky Deaky Show. Okay.
Hey, Tell you what, just
that's when we can curse and get free.
Well, I'm glad I'm on the show tonight because this is like one of the few nights I'm off from work, so I'm glad I caught your show because, you know, I've been wanting to hop on here, you know, and express myself, but I'm glad I got the invite.
I appreciate you.
7:30, you know, and also I like to support the movement, but like also like they said again, like the only way we're going to get by this is by speaking, because the only way you're going to get by a problem is voicing it. Because you keep it in your mind, it's going to stay in your mind. It's going to go into the next DNA. You know what I mean? So
it's the truth, because we got to heal. We got to heal.
Yeah, you got to heal. You got to change the DNA right now in your time before you turn on the next section.
Exactly. Before we pass it on to the babies and the generations. We got to heal from what we went through.
Definitely. So that's what
and protect
say,
the babies. We got to protect the babies, Lord. Good that's Lord, we got to protect. Who's gonna protect the babies?
No. That is the population that is in the most danger. Is the baby because
they can't sense them.
Those people know that if you corrupt the bloodline, if you corrupt the youngest, then everything else will follow anyway.
Yep. The agenda. But there is an agenda they want. The thing.
You're going to have another nation that's going to follow them that really don't give a shit.
Yep, you cussing.
Definitely.
Oh, well, really don't give a shit.
Yeah, we supposed to only cuss on Saturday's show, the Freaky Deacon show.
Yo, you brothers and sisters, I'm glad I chopped it up with y'all. Like, have a
blessed I appreciate you calling in. I appreciate you.
No doubt, brother.
Yeah, yo, this is Dougie Fresh coming from 914, you know, Mount Vernon, New York. You know what I'm saying? Shouting out to y'all and one love.
Appreciate you, Mr. W. Fresh.
No doubt. All right.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. We got about 5 minutes left. Let's go ahead and bring it on.
Oh, we're going to bring it on home now. Yeah, so I'm going to just say this. Being that we are aware it happens, it's our job as parents. I'm not a parent yet, but, you know, when I do become a parent, I'm going to be on top of it. I got this. But, yes, our job as parents, to if we were victims, we have to find healing and, you know, forgive. We also got to forgive ourselves because a lot of us are thinking it's our fault. We provoked it or something like that. And it's not your fault. You was an innocent child. You got taken advantage of by a sexual deviant. You know what I mean? And it was not okay for that to happen. But you have to forgive yourself if you were a victim and it happened to you. You have to forgive yourself because it's not your fault. And also not only forgive yourself, you have to heal. Part of the healing is forgiving yourself, and we have to heal from this because we don't want to pass this on to the next generation. You know what I mean? And also, as a parent, it's your job to make sure, you know how you send your kids over to your aunt's house and they play with their little cousins and stuff like that? It happens with the cousins because my cousin did it to me. So, you know, you got to, when you let your children play with their cousins, you got to be on top of them. Like, what y'all doing in here? What's going on up in here? Leave the door open. What's wrong with y'all? No? So, because the kids are going to emulate what they see. They're going to think, you know, let's get freaky with each other. And, they watch shows that mommy and daddy watch that they be, they'll even do the sound effects. You know what I mean? So, we got to protect them babies. You got to watch what you expose your children to. And you got to step in and protect your children when they're... Don't leave your children unattended for too long. Just because they're playing with their cousins don't mean ain't nothing going on. You know what I mean? And if you have friends of the family that you think is... You know, you got... Put them nanny cams up. The nanny cams, those little... Yes. It just popped in my head. But put the nanny cams up if someone comes to your house to watch your kids because you do not know what your children are being exposed to. You do not know people. You think you do, but you don't.
Right.
You know what I mean? And it's our job. It's our job to protect the baby.
Right. And that's not even being said to heighten anybody's suspicion. Don't go home, you know, tonight and put up cameras and start thinking twice about Uncle Fred when he comes through. You know, I think that we if we're conscious and we're good parents, then we should have a level of confidence in knowing that we make decent or good decisions that concern our children. So that should be
right.
A good thing.
Right.
But as Kiel was saying, you know, don't also don't be so quick to accept love or to accept situations to where you'll quickly close your eyes. You know, when you'll
yep.
say, okay, hey, you're with your cousin. So, hey, you know what? That's fine. Y'all go play. Because just like you, I've been put in situations before with some female cousins. And it's like, what? Y'all want to play?
Right.
You know, and it happens because kids, by nature, are sexually curious.
Yes. Yes.
So, and we want to make sure, we just want to make sure that they're not sexually experimenting. It's different.
Yes.
Be curious.
Yes.
Just don't experiment. And the best way to protect them from experimenting is to be vigilant and watching them. And
mm-hmm.
just to make sure that, you know what, you know your child. You know, respect the fact that the music is hypersexual, the clothes are outrageous, and the way that they communicate with each other is ridiculous.
And make sure you got your kids. I'm sorry. But don't let your kids be afraid or scared to come talk to you. Yes. I said don't make your children scared to come tell you anything, because they probably, you know, I can't tell mommy, she's going to get mad at me. No, let your children
right.
talk to your kids. Let them know, like my sister Diane that came on earlier, let them know the difference between a
right.
good touch and a bad touch, you know? And let them know that, listen, I don't care who does what to you, I am here to protect you. You have to let me know if someone violates you.
Right.
You know, if someone touched you wrong, let me know. Because this is my job to protect you. And if I don't know,
right.
I don't know what's going on with you, I can't protect you.
That's right. That's right. And to the
people
that have went through situations like this, who definitely feel your pain, and it's a situation where we hope
the mic.
I'm sorry. You would hear something that we expressed tonight, and be vigilant and making sure that we address any all those issues. Or you promise yourself that, you know what, tonight's going to change. You know,
yep.
I realize that there are things that are beyond my control. And it's really easy to say that. It's really easy to say that, you know, quote, unquote, get over it. Because it's something that you'll never get over. Something that you'll always
right.
relive and say, you know, what could I have done differently? But like Akil said, and like our guest said tonight, just realize that the first sentence is, it is not your fault.
Right.
You know, none of us know how much time we have left on this planet. Now, we know we have 2 minutes left on the broadcast, but none of us know how much time we have left on this planet. And we must refuse at all times to give in to fear, to give in to hatred, and to definitely give in to our past demons. Because who
yep.
wants to take the rest
yep.
of their life being miserable? That's just something that's not a ride that I want to do. I would never want to do that. And situations in life can make us angry, but we need to pray and we need to be diligent that they don't make us miserable. And
right.
All right, so Kiel, we got 90 seconds. Can you take a phone out, sweetheart?
I would like to thank everybody that called in, to listen, and everybody that called in to speak. I would like to thank you all. I appreciate you. Thanks for the support, you know. And at the end of the day, we have to make this movement, you know, bigger than what it is, and, you know, to better our communities and better this world for our children, you know. That's pretty much it. It's, you know, Lady Kiel signing out, you know. Love to everybody. Peace and love.
Yes, peace and love, no doubt.
I threw some peace sign and shit, like y'all can see me, but, you know, hey.
Ah, right. Until they get visual radio, about 20, 30 years down the line. But you can check us out at the Township Alliance of Progressive Intellectuals. I apologize for this microphone. They keep getting on to me about it, but we're going
to
fix it.
Yes, we need to get him. We're going to get, you know, Ghost Host number 8, a new microphone fund.
Yes. Tune in to our show on Saturday night. We will post the topic. You know how we do, because we're uncensored on live and on adult. So please tune in.
10 seconds.
All right. And this is the end of this airing for Sexual Assault in the Military Community. Thank you for tuning in on the Tappy Network. This is myself, Coco Summer 8.